The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Haydock, Salisbury and Sedgefield on Thursday afternoon. The action continues into the evening with racing on the all-weather Tapita at Wolverhampton, so four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is William Hill Radio's Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm in very good shape, Mark.
Good, glad to hear it. Now, before we get stuck into this, John, into Thursday's action, a few stories just to talk about in the news. And we talked yesterday about the whole Newcastle situation and the fixtures being a little bit up in the air, I suppose. And we learned today that Newcastle won't be getting any fixtures in 2015. They'll have to wait until at least 2016 because the BHA were unwilling to relent on the rule that they needed to have races longer than a mile. So do you think that's a right decision, John?
Yes, I think it probably is the whole, Mark. I think Newcastle have got a really great deal to do to reverse this particular sort of ban or suspension because if they're going to race over distances longer than a mile, they'll have to use the round course.
Yeah.
And basically, they want to have quite a few fixtures, most of which will be after dark in the winter with floodlights on. So that will mean that they'll have to have floodlights around the round course. Not only a very large task, but also likely to cause trouble with residents and other issues. I think it's going to be hard work for ARC to actually get over that particular obstacle. Whether they can persuade the BHA in the interval to relent the rule is, you know, open to question. But it's going to be a period of really hard negotiation, and there will be a lot of people very disappointed. Others, perhaps, particularly Yorkshire tracks like Catterick and even perhaps Wetherby, could well be thinking to themselves, Newcastle are in trouble. We'll have a go ourselves.
Yeah, that looks to be the case as well. The rule, if anybody doesn't know it, is the rule state that you have to have two races on the card over a mile or further, which aggregate 2.5 miles, which Newcastle won't be able to do because they're only having floodlights on the straight mile. Catterick, though, they're planning on an all-weather course that's going to be floodlit entirely the way round, and that will bring them firmly into this mix, wouldn't it, John?
I think it brings them very much into the picture, and if they really do decide to go, I think they'll have much more support from trainers both in the Yorkshire area and, for that matter, further north than would have been the case at Newcastle. Having said that, I think it's absolutely astonishing that the BHA haven't actually warned Newcastle or reminded Newcastle of the rule before they had really gone quite a long way up the road for a floodlit straight mile and a course with distances up to a mile. They must be not at all pleased, and it's a strange situation altogether. But it does open the door for Catterick, Mark, and I would imagine that the North Yorkshire course will now go full out for it. Ideal spot, excellent place for trainers, and really a very good situation all round.
Yeah, interesting developments there. Then we'll find out whether we get all-weather racing in the north and where it will be later on. It'll be 2016's fixture programme, so we'll have plenty of time to revisit that. Let's talk about some news in terms of jockeys and horses. John, Amy Ryan, she's going to break new ground for herself. She's going to ride Astaire at Haydock in the Sprint Cup, and that's her first Group 1 ride.
Yes, and Astaire could go very well for Kevin Ryan. One rather assumes that Hot Streak is going to be the first choice, but were the ground to dry up quite significantly, and the forecast suggests it's going to be dry for the last few days of the week, then perhaps there'll be a change of mind. Astaire is very fast, and Amy will get a particularly good ride on the horse. I imagine that she'll have worked quite a lot on Astaire at home, and this horse is a very, very speedy sprinter of the highest class. So he's going to give Amy a great ride in her first Group 1. Remember, she came to grief in the end when falling off Bogart in quite a decent contest, and she's ridden Bogart in the past. That is a very quick horse. So Amy is perfectly sound, and it was great to see her come back with a win in Group 1. So very interesting move, Mark.
Yes, interesting indeed. And we mentioned See the Moon yesterday. He's going to have a prep run at Baden-Baden for the Arc. We're learning today that Trave will be running in the Priva May, but trainer cricket head Marek says that she'll need the run.
Yes, she came back from Ascot, I believe, with a slight problem to the back. She was never travelling well in her race at the Royal Meeting. A disappointment in a way in a couple of outings so far this season, but she was absolutely brilliant in this particular race last season and then went on to win the Arc in great style. Obviously, Cricket Head is warning people to be a little bit careful this time, but watching Trave reappear will be of enormous interest, and let's hope she does actually run extremely well, and that will be another and real treat for spectators of the Arc in early October.
Yeah, hopefully it'll tee her up nicely for a defence of the Arc. The Queen's horse, Queen's filly, estimate, or Queen's mare, apparently they're thinking about taking her to the Melbourne Cup, and from what I was watching on TV a while ago when estimate ran, obviously being part of the Commonwealth, they'd welcome Estimate's participation with open arms over in Melbourne.
Yes, they'd be over the moon, wouldn't they, metaphorically. I think Estimate in the Melbourne Cup would be tremendous PR for Australian racing all round the world, and would certainly heighten the already very high esteem in which the Melbourne Cup is held. It seems over the past sort of decades that the Melbourne Cup requires both speed and stamina. Stamina is certainly well up the tree for Estimate, Gold Cup winner, of course, and an excellent second last time. Whether Estimate has quite the speed to lie up sufficiently with the other slightly faster horses involved, I think is open to doubt. But it will really heighten the history of the race if the Queen does have a runner there.
Yes, apparently they're going to make a decision after Doncaster next week, when she should be lining up in the Doncaster Cup, and then she's set to retire at the end of the season, so it will be quite a big hurrah to go out with, wouldn't it, if she were to go over there and win the Melbourne Cup?
Well, it'd be absolutely tremendous, yeah. Yes, and a furore of delight and excitement.
Yeah, one more story just to talk about. Noble Mission, the Tattersalls Gold Cup winner over in Ireland. He's going to go back to Ireland for a tilt at the Irish Champion Stakes. You see him being involved?
I could. I would hope the ground's going to be on the easy side for Noble Mission, because I think that's basically what the horse requires. Seemed to be a completely different animal in the earlier part of the season. Positive front-running tactics also paid off. Question mark to me is whether that's got to be the case or not. If it has got to be the case, then the rivals will now know, so to speak, and they will not give Noble Mission too much of a lead. But I get the impression that this horse has come of age during the current season, and certainly an addition well worth considering for that race.
Yeah, likely favourite Australia in that race as well, so it'd be quite a stiff task, wouldn't it, to
yes.
beat him, but should be a good race.
Yeah, we were talking yesterday in the studio, that's on Tuesday in the studio, about Australia and also Togruder, and we had a tremendous number of emailers who felt that the filly, Togruder, was not, in fact, as great and as tremendous as had been suggested beforehand. An extraordinary number of people said that this year's King George was in fact an average contest. Now, I don't take that. I think that with Telescope and Mukra Dam very close up behind, or well, say very close up, well beaten actually in second and third, those two horses are pretty good. I mean, they are Eclipse winners and also a tremendous Hardwick Stakes winner, Group 2 admittedly, but won really well at the Royal Meeting Telescope. So I don't think it was an average race. I think it was an extremely good King George, really. And Togruta won that really well. I don't think she was the same filly at York. I'm convinced of that. And I think she'll spring back to form in the Arc. So it really is very, very interesting indeed.
Yeah, I tend to agree with there, John. I think I don't think the King George was substandard. I think she was very impressive in it, and I just, because she was so impressive, I just don't think that they realised how much of a hard race she'd had. Then when she went to the Yorkshire Oaks, like you said, I don't think she was the same filly, and she wasn't receiving weight, and she was back against her own sex, and I think all that conspired just to make her, well, it looked a disappointing effort, but in hindsight, I think that maybe they shouldn't have run her there. So.
Well, that is possibly the case. And our own KP said that at the time that he didn't think that Togruta looks really anything like as well at York as she had done before the King George. Our Tapestry, who just beat her at York, of course, is an up-and-coming filly, could prove to be by no means a shoe-in at all at York and did the job well. The other thing, Australia, will he run in the Arc or not? Now, this is a big question. I think the champion, Irish champion, will be very much up his street, and that you continue his great run. Question: will Coolmore decide to put his reputation on the stake in the Arc? It's a big one.
It is. It'd be exciting if he did, though. I mean, we'd have quite a lineup then, wouldn't we?
Yes.
But we'll have to wait and see what Ballydoyle will do with him. And I think it's about time we leave the news there and move on to Thursday's action as well. So we'll get John's thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Thursday. Lord Budden's picked out three races for us, starting at Haydock, the first of their three-day meeting, and it's the 2:30 on that card, which is a handicap, a class 4 handicap over a mile for three-year-olds and older. 12 of them in the lineup here, John, and it's quite an open race. You could pick a number of these to make a case for.
A tricky old race, isn't it? Typical Budden to choose it. just sort of going down the list, I like Odyssey. This is a mare who has not actually shown her best form so far this season for Michael Dodds, but did go down to Windsor earlier in the year and ran pretty well. I think that was Enlisted Company. Since that, has not really quite hit the target, but wasn't beaten all that far at Redcar when six behind Karaka Jack in a similar sort of contest. I would not be at all surprised to see Odyssey go well in this race. Then we have a whole series of others. Set the Trend, disappointing for me, but has ability. No Poppy, looked as though she was coming back to form, but has been just a shade flat in the last couple of outings. We've got Kilaki Star in the race as well, Imaginary World, but the big danger to Odyssey and the selection in the race has got to be Hostile Fire. I think Ed De Giles is three times winner during the summer with Andrea Atzini riding tremendously well, Mark, in the saddle, despite being beaten last time out. It was quite a decent handicap at Newmarket, second to Carnivale, and I would have thought that this horse, Hostile Fire, still on a reasonable mark, is the one they've all got to beat.
Okay, Hostile Fire, the one they'll have to beat. They put the cheek pieces on for the first time here as well, so it'll be interesting to see if that brings out a little bit more in an in-form runner. So that's the 2:30 at Haydock. Moving on to the 4:20 at Salisbury next. That's the big race there. It's the Dickpool Filly Stakes, which is a Group 3 for two-year-old fillies over six furlongs, 14 of them in the lineup for this, and many of them coming in here in winning form, John. But I suppose the one that's hardest to maybe get a handle on is Marsh Hawk, who made a winning debut last time, won by seven lengths on its first outing at Newmarket. She's pitched into Group 3 company here, John. What do you make of her?
Well, I think, first of all, this is a vintage renewal of the Dickpool Stakes. There's no question about that. Marsh Hawk, Hannon, Richard Hughes. They have, I believe, two in the race, but Richard Hughes is riding Marsh Hawk, a really fluent winner, first time out at Newmarket on debut by 7 lengths, ears pricked, pulling up, you know, could be anything. And the stable and the jockey have a tremendous record at Salisbury, of course. So Marsh Hawk's got to be a major, major worry for everything else in the field.
Okay, but do you take her on though, John?
I will take her on. I mean, see, there are all kinds of possibilities in this race. Touchline, for example, Frankie Dettori for Michael Bell. Then we've got Pastoral Girl, James Given, and Tom Queeley. Interesting, James Given sending a filly down for this Group 3. He's in quite good form, James Given. Had a good winner at Carlisle earlier in the week. And Pastoral Girl, by no means disgraced at Ascot last time out. Second in the Princess Margaret. Now, that's pretty good form, Mark.
Yeah.
And, you know, from our informed stable, Pastoral Girl could actually give the favourite. I imagine that Marsh Hawk might be favourite, but not necessarily. So plenty to think about. Prize Exhibit won reasonably well at Nottingham last time out, but could have a little bit more to do. And then we come to the real danger, in my view, to the Hannon filly, and that is New Providence. And New Providence will be my choice in this race. Regular listeners to William Hill Radio will know that I have for a long time been keen on a young trainer called Hugo Palmer and always look for his horses carefully. Well, of course, recently he's come very strongly into fashion, short sleeves being a really good winner at York, and here New Providence, to me, has got all the credentials of being a really top-class finny. Excellent second to the William Haggis winner at York, and that was a big sales race. And I think New Providence came out of the pack on that occasion with a tremendous late run. For a second, I thought victory was possibly going to be in the grasp, but not quite. But it was a most encouraging second. And since then, of course, Hugo Palmer's had the winner of the Solerio Stakes at Sandown. The stable's in very good form. I think this is an up-and-coming filly. And despite obvious credentials for Marsh Hawk, I'm going to go for New Providence.
OK, New Providence to continue what's been a pretty good few weeks for Hugo Palmer in that one. And we move on to the 4:30 at Sedgefield next. We're going jumping for this one. A handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 1 furlong. And should we start here with Morning with Ivan's quite interesting here, John, returning from an absence, but was in good form before having a break.
Yes, Martin Todhunter got this horse in the new year from Ireland, Morning with Ivan. He'd had an absolute desperate 18 months, Martin Todhunter, before that. Had a clean sweep, absolutely got rid of almost all the horses in his yard and brought in new ones. And since then, the team have been going pretty well. A horse he bought, for example, from Nicky Henderson called Play Hara for 17,000 run up a sequence, and the team are in very much better form than they were 6 months ago. Morning and Ivan did well for Martin earlier in the season. I think just might need this race, though.
Okay.
Overpriced comes into the argument here very much indeed. She's a really game mare, Overpriced, trained by Maurice Barnes, who had a double at Sedgefield when they opened again only about 10 days ago. His team in excellent shape. Overpriced is a front runner, nicely handicapped in my view in this contest, and goes well when fresh. Could be a serious danger, but the winner, I think, will be Knight in Purple. I've been waiting for John Mackey's horse to win a race for some while. Now, ran extremely well in much better company last time out, Knight in Purple. And he's a horse who needs to have a sound surface. Now, unless there's a deluge overnight at Sedgefield, we're going to get relatively fast ground. And Knight in Purple looks to me well-weighted, ready to score. Peter Carberry in the saddle, John Mackey's team in good shape, so Knight in Purple will be my choice to take this quite competitive handicap hurdle.
Okay, good stuff. Yeah, it looks relatively well handicapped now, doesn't it, Knight in Purple? So I can see where you're coming from there, John. Let's just have a quick summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for Thursday one more time.
Well, the first one's in the 2:30 at Haydock, and that is Hostile Fire for Ed De Giles. Then we go to the 4:20 at Salisbury, basically the big race of the day, and this could be a really competitive contest, but I was impressed with New Providence at York, so Hugo Palmer's filly is the choice, and in the handicap hurdle at Sedgefield, John Mackey's Knight in Purple for that 4:30 at Sedgefield.
Okay, good stuff, John. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Thursday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go. The thoughts of Lord Budden on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Mick Norton, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater will be your team in the studio. It's Haydock, Salisbury and Sedgefield on Thursday afternoon and Wolverhampton in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.